My talk today is going to be on prophecy. There are a huge number of books written about it, and I'm going to try to keep this in less than 20 minutes. The gift of prophecy is one of the charismatic gifts that we have. Those of you not familiar with it, when you take any classes in theology, say that they're at the seminary and so forth, when they have courses on the spiritual life, they will often talk about the gifts of the Spirit, but when they talk about the gifts of the Spirit, they'll talk about the seven gifts of the Spirit, which we're familiar with. Now, those are officially called the sanctifying gifts of the Spirit, because those gifts are related to holiness. There is a whole new group that we're becoming more and more familiar with. If you have some of the old-time priests who have studied the spiritual life, there's a book called Tanqueray's Spiritual Life. It's about yay thick, 800 pages. And the last time I looked at it, I couldn't find charismatic gifts listed at all. Some of the gifts of the Spirit are way in the back. It's like saying, to make this book complete, we'll put them here, but you probably will never see them. Well, with the charismatic renewal, the Holy Spirit picked up the church and moved it to page 700, okay? Which kind of blows people's mind, because originally the way you go to holiness was you go through virtues. That is to say, you take the initiative. You want to become, you have this anger in you, and you've decided you're going to get rid of this anger, and you're going to work at it, and you have all kind of gimmicks, and you pray about it, of course, and the Lord will come to help, and you read books and so forth. That's one way of getting it. There is another way, a more perfect way, one even St. Thomas Aquinas talked about, and that is through gifts of the Spirit. But that's a whole other area, but I just want to give you that overview. I'm going to be talking about charismatic gifts, or sometimes called the spiritual gifts. Charismatic gifts are not linked to sanctity. On that day, you'll say to me, did we not work miracles in your name? Did we not do this? Did we not do that? Cast out demons? And I'll say, get behind me, I never knew you. He's talking to charismatics. So it's possible to have the gifts and spend your time on the gifts and not spend your time with the Lord Jesus. Your prayer life can go down the tubes. Unless you build everything on Scripture and on your prayer life, these things can become ego trips. Charismatic gifts are nothing more than gifts of service, and they knit together a community, because he gives different gifts to different people. The ones listed in Scripture are the more exciting gifts, more unusual gifts. But there are a lot of gifts of the Spirit, gifts of hospitality and so forth. Some people have a wonderful gift of hospitality, and their presence in a community is very, very important. Having said that, I want to go into the area of prophecy. First of all, the word prophecy comes from two Greek words, pro and pheta. Pro means for, pheta means speak. So prophecy is to speak for somebody. You're not speaking yourself. It's someone else who wants to speak to you, and he lets me know, and I tell you. Okay, so it's speaking. Now, I'd like to talk about basically four quick things. First of all, what's a scriptural definition, the nature of prophecy? Secondly, how does one receive it? How do you know that God is saying, hey, I want you to talk for me? How do you know? Third, if someone is giving words in the form of prophecy, how do you out there listen to it? Scripture says, don't despise prophecy, but weigh everything. So apparently they had problems back in those days too. They had non-prophecy being said. And he says, after a while, you say, oh, they're a mixture of good stuff and bad. Oh, well. He says, no. Don't despise it. If it's the Lord speaking, then you need to deal with it. But know when he's talking and when it's someone preaching at you. Know the difference. Fourthly, some of the, maybe the purposes of prophecy, I'd like to say specifically about that. First of all, what is prophecy? It's a spontaneous manifestation of God's grace. In other words, when a person gets prophecy, he's surprised, and she is surprised because where did that come from? That's the key element. Secondly, it's a revelation. Something is being revealed to you by the Lord. It's being given by the Spirit, and he's giving it to a person so that this Christian can speak it. So it's a surprise of the Lord. He taps somebody and says, I want you to speak my word. It's not some type of intellectual-based sharing. It doesn't start in your head. If it starts in your head, you're either preaching to us or you're teaching, and preaching and teaching are nothing more than commentaries on a revelation, usually scripture, which is prophetic. God gave the information to a person and they wrote it down. Prophecy itself is the revelation. That is God speaking to us directly. It is not something that is pre-planned. It is a surprise of the Lord. It's not a reaction to silence, for example. Sometimes the Lord will give a time when there's tremendous silence. And if a person is uncomfortable with silence, they may want to fill the gap and decide they're going to fill it with something. There's sometimes when there's a profound silence, and you know that it's profound. It's not an awkward silence. It's like a... There's an awe about the silence. We've had that a number of times that'll happen here. Just awesome. And it's wrong to interfere with that, with a song, with a word, with anything, any type of a noise, until the Holy Spirit gives a sense of a direction. That's why we ask that everything be led by the Spirit. I shared briefly what it is. It's basically a surprise of the Lord. It's given, the Lord taps on a shoulder, so to speak, and says, here I want to say this. How is it received? How do you know that it's the Lord? Well, initially, the Lord has to get your attention. And sometimes he uses some really dramatic things to get your attention. Now, he knows how to get your attention. Some people will suddenly find when they're praying, their heart begins to pound like mad. It just pounds like mad. Now, at this point, you're saying, what is that? And your brain says, hey, there's no reason why that pounding should have suddenly happened all of a sudden to me. And as you enter into that, the pounding, there is a peace, or whatever it might be, or it might be a sense of urgency to do something. And if I said, how sure are you that it's God? I said, well, I'm 95% sure it's God and about 5% maybe me. But I would say it's 95% God. So the Lord's tapping you. So he gets your attention. What happens after he gets your attention and he'll give you, sometimes it'll be words. It might be a vision, it might be a picture, and they come in different ways. So there are so many different things I wouldn't even try to, but I've had this experience, for example, in prayer all of a sudden, it's like something is on a treadmill for me. This will happen. Israel, my children, you have nothing to worry about. Long pause. My children, you have nothing to worry about. And you know, when it first happened, the first reaction is, Lord, I'm pretty sure that's you, but I'm not going to go up there and stand up and say, my children, there's nothing to worry about, and then sit down. And he says, my son, there's nothing to worry about. So what do? You go up here and you say the first sentence which comes to mind, and as you rest there with him, not on your head, but with him, other words begin to come. And you just say them as they come. You say them as they come. I remember one time one woman gave a prophecy, and after the end I said, her name was Sharon. I said, Sharon, this is back about 20 years ago. Sharon, I says, that prophecy is wonderful, but I could tell when the Lord stopped and you continued. She says, I know, but he stopped in the middle of a sentence. I said, Sharon, if he stops in the middle of a sentence, you stop in the middle of a sentence. It wasn't long before that happened again. She stopped in the middle of a sentence. And her eyes popped open. She says, that's all. And she sat down, and someone else walked right up and continued it. God will get your attention. What's going to happen, however, the next time he gets your attention, when your heart might be going boom, 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 boom. Next time it might go boom, 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 boom. Now you say, now I used to be 95 and 5. Now I'm down to about 60 and 40, I think. Maybe 55 and 45. I'm not sure, you know. And then it begins to fade, and then suddenly it doesn't do it. And something else would be very delicate. Remember the passage I was thinking of the prophet? He was looking in the thunderstorm, looking for all this noise. And suddenly the Lord was in the whisper. If you develop your prayer life, the Lord can say, my sheep really know me. This person really knows me. He detects when I'm getting his or her attention. You may get to the point where it's 51 and 49. It's like you're not quite sure whether it's God or me. It's that delicate. And yet when you go back away from your head, wherever he was going to locate it, but he'll usually talk to you at a place farther away from your head, wherever it is for you. Some people with the heart, some people in the area of the liver, whatever. But it's whatever he knows, you'll be aware of it. Second, the next thing is, what do you do? If it is prophecy, and if it is meant for you, keep in mind, sometimes a person may come up here and the Lord may speak through a person, and normally it's for the community, but sometimes it isn't. It might be for three or four people in the community, but to avoid embarrassing them and so forth, he does it in this context. If it's meant for you, there is a built-in power that will touch your heart. If you, your heart, so what you do is, when you listen to prophecy, it comes in your ear, you do not stop it in your head. Because you get it in your head, you'll start chopping it up and analyze it and everything. You let it go to the heart. If it's meant for you, you'll know it. If it's not meant for you, you'll feel nothing. It's either not meant for you, or it might not be prophecy. It's not for you to judge. All you know is, this is not for you. It'll just fall out and disappear. No harm done. Don't even try to judge. Remember one time we had one of our brothers was with me at the time many years ago, and he said that prophecy didn't do anything to anybody. You know, that's what we were learning. It was terrible. And then at the end of the meeting, one person walked up And it was the next week. Says, you know, last week, that prophecy was mentioned. That, you have no idea what that word meant to me. It was like God knew exactly what I had in my heart, the problem I had in heart. And I knew immediately what the solution was. And this work, this week, has been heaven. Don't judge. Sometimes you can tell whether it's really genuine prophecy or whether the person is hemming and hawing. Now, here's something very unusual. The Lord will use the person and use the culture of the person. So, if we were in a farming district and our way of speaking was D's, Dem, and Do's, it is not unusual for a prophecy to be grammatically wrong, but understood by the audience. The important thing is not the grammar. The important thing is the revelation. Whatever it takes. So don't, well, it can't be prophecy because it didn't follow the grammar book that I have at home. Don't go there. Did it stir the heart or didn't it? First of all, prophecy is a surprise of God given to individual, and this person is being tapped to speak his word. Now, it's not unusual. I used to get prophecy early. Three or four times a month. Now, I get one, and he might not use me again for another 6 months. I've no problem with that. What's happening is he can do what he wants. You know, I'm not going to argue with him. It doesn't bother me. But if you have an ego problem, if you need to be needed, if you need to have people fawn over you to say, well, then, please, if you know you're insecure or you have something, don't think that God is going to use you for prophecy. He's not. He can't do you a disservice like that. Now, many of you have, in your care and shares, are getting prophecy. I just encourage you that if the Lord taps you here, I know that some of you don't like to get up, humanly speaking. That's a good sign. It's when people like to come up here and they think God is speaking, say, oh, probably not. If you have that much of a desire to get up there, it's probably not him. I'd say 20% him and 80% you. So don't go there. Anyhow, I would hope that as a result of this, some of you who have been deeply touched with the Lord's word in your care and shares will share them up here.